worship, trying to do new forms of contemporary ministry. We built a brand new facility. We added a live praise band. We started doing media and put things up on the screen, and we built a multi-purpose facility. Then we built the cafe, and we started saying, hey, listen, grab yourself a cup of coffee, grab a beverage, grab some food, and you can bring it into the sanctuary. And people are like, I've never been in a church before where you can take food in the sanctuary. Praise be to God. You can bring your coffee in here. You can bring your water in here, because this is about God, not rites, rules, and rituals. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ in our life. And we are here for you. This is why we do what we do. This is why we've set this church up to be what it is. So we honor several different worship styles here. We honor contemporary music with a live praise band. And we just wrapped up our blended worship experience with an organ and a piano at 8:15. And this is what God is calling us to do. Why do we do this? Because we want to reach those yet to come. We want to create a church experience for people to be blessed in and blessed at. I remember when I was a kid. When I was a kid, this was my own personal experience. I'm not saying it's yours, but when I was a kid, I grew up going to church. And I remember sitting in those uncomfortable pews, and I remember standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down. You got to work out. You got to work out before you left that day. And as soon as you sat down, you knew you were standing back up. And as soon as you stood up, you just sat back down. I just felt like standing up there in the whole sermon the whole time, because I knew I was going to be asked to stand back up as soon as we're done. And it was just kind of this experience that didn't make a lot of sense to me. We sang out of a book called a hymnal, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me then. And there was a message about God that never really seemed to apply to my everyday life. I mean, don't get me wrong, the pastor, he got scripture out. But there was never this connection to everyday living with God's word. And so basically, it was more of a Bible study. It was taking a look at a word and saying, well, this is what the word means. And I'm thinking, that's great. What does it mean for my life? And so there was never this practical application point, and I felt distant. I felt like it was a list of do's and don'ts. And what I discovered is that I was experiencing religion and not a relationship. I was experiencing religion, and religion is a list of do's and don'ts. Religion is a list of this is what you can do, should do, this is what worship ought to look like, this is how it ought to be, this is the kind of chair you ought to sit in, this is how the coffee ought to be served. Those are all do's and don'ts, and that's religion. And what I learned was that I was thirsting for a relationship with God. I was thirsting for a relationship with God, and those things weren't engaging me. Then I went off to college, and I discovered Campus Crusade for Christ at The Ohio State University. They had a weekly meeting called Primetime on Thursday nights. And when I went to Primetime, they had a live praise band and a worship band, and people were clapping their hands, and there was a power and an energy of the Spirit that I've never felt before. There was just this joy and excitement, kind of a little bit like you guys were getting raucous a little bit earlier in this service when we were singing, and we were just going crazy up here for the Spirit of God on stage. I mean, praise God for Lisa and the singers and our band ministry. Praise God for Jason and what they're doing. And so we can realize we can have fun. We can let our hair down. We can celebrate. We can worship God. I was experiencing that at this prime time, and people were clapping their hands, and there was power, and there was refreshments and hospitality and people loving on you. And then there was this message that seemed to apply God's word directly to my life. Where it was like he was in my dorm room with me. He was speaking straight into my heart and soul. And he was taking God's word and making it practically applicable. And all of a sudden, I found him speaking into my feelings of being lost. I found him speaking into my feelings of feeling empty in my life. I found him speaking into the weight of sin in my life. And that's when I discovered that Jesus came for people like me. I discovered that Jesus came for people like me, broken, lost, didn't have it all together, thought I had it all together, but ultimately, underneath, knew I didn't. I knew that he came for people like me who were sick, who were broken, who were in need, who were just tatters inside. And that's when I really started to seek him. And I remember going to spring break to Daytona Beach. Remember this? My first Daytona Beach experience, I went to, my parents are here, so I can't lie about anything today. So, not that typically that happens on a Sunday morning when I'm up here preaching. Let's just be honest about this. So I went to Daytona Beach, and we were going there because we were going to share our faith. It was basically a week-long experience while we were on spring break to go and to learn more about Christ, grow in our relationship, and then go share our faith on the beach. So we take Bible tracts, and we go talk to complete strangers about Jesus. Well, I wasn't even sure I knew Jesus that well. I had lived my mother's and my dad's faith, going to a Lutheran church with them growing up, but I don't think I necessarily made Jesus my personal relationship. I was doing the religion thing. I was doing the do's and don'ts and trying to follow out the best that I could, but I tell you what happened is they put me out on the beach with a partner of mine, and we went out and shared. I said, listen, you do all the talking because I'm not even sure about this stuff. Well, we found two guys, and we started talking to them about faith. Well, all of a sudden, he got separated with this guy, and I'm standing next to this guy, and I said, well, you want to talk about this? I mean, we're standing here. We might as well talk about this. He said, sure, what you got? And I started reading through this four spiritual laws thing. We talked about faith in Christ. And by the end, we prayed the sinner's. I read the sinner's prayer to him. And I said what the book told me to do, and that is to ask him if it's the desire of his heart. And he says, well, you know what? As a matter of fact, this is the desire of my heart, and I want to pray that prayer right now. And I said, I think I'm going to join you because it's a desire of my heart too. And so here I am leading this guy to Christ, and I wasn't even sure if I knew him myself. And in that moment, I just remember it was like the Spirit of God descended in my heart, and he set me on fire. And I remember going back to school, and I remember all the things that was doing and that God was doing in my life. And I remember in that moment giving my entire life over to him, that I was all in. And I went back to campus and started sharing my faith with my dorm room, my dorm mates and my friends and my classmates. And I was inviting them to this weekly meeting called Primetime, and people were coming and were starting Bible studies within the dormitory, and was just excited about what God was doing. And then I graduated from school, and Aaron and I got married, and we found a church called Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church in Dayton, Ohio. And it was like Primetime. I mean, I remember walking in those doors, and every week there was great music, there was powerful worship, radical hospitality, and there was this message that was preached every single week, and it was from Scripture, but it spoke into my daily life, and it spoke practical, radical ways of change and growth that I needed in my own life. It was powerfully consistent each week and every week. It was powerfully predictable each week and every week. That's what happened. Great worship, great hospitality, a powerful message that applied applicably to everyday life by using God's word. And I believe that this is what God is doing in our hearts. And by the way, they preached Jesus there. They gave an invitation to Jesus. They shared the gospel message. And every day, every Sunday you go there, you get a chance to respond to Christ in your life. And this is what I believe where we are as Rolling Plains Church, that we are called to reach people far from God. We are called to reach those that are yet to come. We are called to reach those who desire to come and connect and grow and go. And that's who we are as a church. So the question is for us today is, how far will we go to reach people for Jesus? How far will we go to reach people for Christ? Are we willing to do anything short of sin in order to reach people for Jesus? You're thinking, are you even allowed to do that? Yes, you are. To do everything short of sin in order to reach people for Jesus. That's what Paul did. I mean, Paul was a radical. That's what Peter did. Peter was a radical. And they did everything short of sin in order to reach people for Christ. So let's get the scale of 1 to 10 out. We've been doing this the last couple of weeks. If you're new, I'll explain it to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how passionate are you about people that are far from God? On a scale from 1 to 10, where are you? Now, I'm not asking you to shout it out, but I want to give you some examples of where you should find yourself so you can do some personal work with God. Now, one would be the lowest, where you just could just care less about people. Now, that's not you, because that's Satan. Okay, Satan is the worst of the worst. He's number one, all right, on this chart. But so you would start from 2 all the way to 9. Now, you're not a 10 either, because that's Jesus, and Jesus is perfect. So you're going to find yourself somewhere between a 2 and a 9. And so if you are a 6 or above, if you're a 6, 7, 8, or 9, you're probably someone who has had a conversation with somebody recently about Jesus Christ, and you probably have led somebody to Jesus Christ in the last month or sometime in your lifetime. You're probably somebody who has prayed for somebody to come to faith. Anybody see the new movie War Room? It's out. It's out in a couple places. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard great things. You should check it out. But you're somebody who has a list of people that you pray for. You're praying for a friend or a family member or a coworker, and you're praying that they would find Christ. And you're also somebody that within the last couple of months, you've invited somebody to church, or you've even brought them with you because you're concerned that they don't know God and you want them to know God. Now, you might be a 6 or above. That's you. You might be a 5 or lower if you haven't led a person to Christ before, recently or ever. If you haven't shared your faith with somebody recently or ever. If you haven't prayed with somebody that you or prayed for somebody without them even knowing it, you probably have some people in your mind. And have you prayed for them that you would just believe that they need Christ in their life? And if you're 5 or lower, you might not have even recently thought about praying for anybody to find salvation in Jesus Christ. And in that moment, we kind of find ourselves caught up in our own little world. We find ourselves caught up in our own little church experience, and this is for us and not necessarily for anybody else. We're not bringing friends to church. We're not inviting anybody. If you find yourself in that place, if you're honest with where you are, you would be a 5, between 5, 4, 3, and a 2. If we're honest, we need to realize kind of where we are on that scale. And we need to hear this truth, is that lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God, and therefore they matter to us because they matter to God. Now, we might say that people matter to us, but do our actions back up what we say? And that's what we want to talk about for the rest of the time today, reaching people with the love of Jesus. There's two ways. Reaching people with the love of Jesus, and we're going to move on into verse 3. Actually, we're going to back up into verse 3 through 5 in Mark chapter 2. We're still in Mark chapter 2, back to verses 3 and 5. It says, Some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So there's two things that we're called to do based on this story. And the first one is this. We're called to bear some burdens. We're called by God to bear some burdens. That's what these 4 guys did for this guy. They got personal with him. They got into his own personal life and his own personal experiences, into his own personal space. And they went to him and said, "Listen, we love you enough. We're going to get involved in your life. And we're going to do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus. And if it takes picking you up and carrying you to Jesus, that's what we're going to do. And so they picked him up and they carried him to Jesus. They didn't just point him there, they took him there. They didn't just show him where to go, they walked with him on where he should go. And that's what they did for him. They cared for him. Now, what we typically do, if we do anything at all when it comes to talking to others about Jesus, is we do drive-by witnessing. We do drive-by witnessing where we don't have to get involved in people's lives. And so we drive by and shout out the window, "Hey, Jesus loves you. God bless." Or my favorite that really just shows the love of Jesus Christ is, "Hey, listen, you're going to hell. Turn or burn, baby." Like that works. But then we get in our car and we turn or burn the heck out of there because we don't even want to have that conversation because we don't think we're qualified to do that because we don't think we know enough. And the problem is, it's not that you don't know enough. It's that you don't know just how much God has loved you and how much he's equipped you. It's not that you need another seminary class. You just need to let people know that you care. You don't need to know more of the Bible. You just need to share your life with people. You just need to show up. I mean, when you show up in people's lives, you show up at their doorstep, you show up at their car, you show up to help them at school or at work, and you're there to care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And as soon as you care, they want to know what you know. And then they'll ask you, and you get a chance to share it. And oh, by the way, you don't need to have it all written out like nice and neat in a sermon because you have it all in your head because you've lived it. It's your story. You share your story. You think, "I don't know what to say." You tell them your story. You tell them stories like I do. I try to teach you this every Sunday. It's not that I'm trying to just give you illustrations to make a point. I want you to hear how I share with you about my life, my mess-ups, my hang-ups, my hurts, the challenges in my life, and take those and share with people, real people, how God has turned a life around. And when you share that with them, and you're not a pastor, it turns the light bulb on for them. You mean you don't get paid to do this? You don't get paid to say, "No, this is my life. This is my story." You want to know something that nobody could ever take from you? Your story, because it's yours. It's your story. And so you share your story. And when you show them how much you care, when you share your story with people, that's when God shows up in big moments and changes lives. But you don't just invite people to church. You don't just invite people to Jesus. You take them to church. You bring them to church. You bring them to Jesus. These guys got their hands dirty. They didn't just point it out. They walked them right to Jesus. I think the best way to illustrate this is, you ever been in like a Do It Best Hardware or True Value or Ace? And then you go to Lowe's. Now, I got nothing against the big box stores because I love my Lowe's. I mean, I love going to Lowe's. But you ever walk into Lowe's and you got this part in your hand and you're thinking, "I have no idea where this is." You walk in there and all of a sudden you see 18 aisles. 18 aisles of love, though, by the way. I mean, there's some cool stuff in Lowe's. 18 aisles of just stuff. And you have no idea where to go. You're roaming around the place. And if you finally do get an employee and you ask him where this is, what do? They point down and say, "It's 5 aisles over, take a left." Then you get there, and you finally get to where you're still supposed to be, and you still don't know. You still can't find it. So what happens when you walk into an Ace or True Value or like a Do It Best, the smaller stores? What do they do when you walk in? They greet you at the door, and then they say, "Well, what can I help you with?" And you show them what you need, and what do? They walk with you. They go with you. They take you to what you need to help you solve your problem or your challenge. And that's what we need to do with people in the name of Jesus Christ, is that we need to pick people up and literally carry them to Jesus. Put them in front of Jesus. Create an environment. So that's what hospitality is. It's setting up an environment so that God can reach into people's souls. And so when we say we want to be radically hospitable here, that means we want to greet people. We want to love them. We want to create safe spaces for people to be who they are so they can find God. We want to put a cup of coffee in their hands because it gives people more comfort to have a beverage in their hands when they're talking to somebody. We want to let them bring them into the sanctuary because, listen, this is not a museum. This is a house of worship. In museums, you're not allowed to bring food in. In the house of worship, you can bring food in here all day long because what matters is in your heart and in your soul. In your soul. So picture Jesus. I can picture Jesus in this house. He's teaching. And this house is just bursting with people who are intently listening and they're focusing on his teaching. And there's no room for anybody else because these four guys are trying to get this paralytic in there, but they can't get him in there. And I believe today that this happens in our churches as well. There are people who are trying to get into our church to meet Jesus, but we're so focused on our own church experiences, we have our back turned to the people that are broken in order to focus on Christ. Whoa. Hear that for a second. We're so focused on our own church experience, we have our backs turned to the very people that need Jesus Christ in their life because we're doing our own little Christian thing and focusing on what we like, what reaches us, what we want to have happen, and we have our backs turned to the people who are hurting, to the people that God wants us to welcome. And I'm not here to accuse anybody, but I think it's just so easy, not one individual, but all of us as the collective body, to be into what we're into, to be into what we like, to be so focused on God that we're not paying attention to the brokenness next to us in the chair, the brokenness walking through the door, or to share our own brokenness with people. And so we need to make sure that we're bearing some burdens in the name of Jesus Christ. Why would we add a third worship service? It's a year to almost to the day that we added a third worship service. Why? So we can make some room for some more people. So it's not just about us, so that we can give options. Do you guys like this 9:45 service hour? I do. I mean, not only is it convenient for you, but we were overcrowded at the 11 o'clock service. It literally was the scene of the paralytic. You're walking in and all the backs are turned to you. We're worshiping Jesus and people are wondering, is there any space for me here? Does this place care for me? Does anybody want me here? And so we started a third worship service to do just what this story is sharing with us so that we could bear some burdens. So we need to be all things to all people in order to win some for Jesus Christ. It reminds me of Nathan Raines when we were in Guatemala. I remember a Guatemala trip. I see about five of you in here in this room that was on that trip with me. And Nathan loves baseball. And so they like baseball down in Guatemala. So Nathan, he knew he wanted to do a baseball clinic down there, not because it's what he wanted to do, but he knew that it would show them that they cared. So what does he do? He brought his own baseball pants. He had like a glove. All the guys were so excited about this. This American guy was going to share baseball with them. And so they put on their baseball pants. They showed up for practice. And Benny was there, one of the faculty members. And he was out there working with them. And Nathan was out there playing ball with him for like an hour or two. It was crazy. He didn't talk to him about Jesus. He just played ball with them. He played ball with them because he knew that's what they wanted to do. And he knew that he needed to just show them that he cared. And that they weren't going to care what he knew until he showed them how much he cared. And in doing so, and I don't think he realizes this, but Benny, later in the day, or the day later, I believe it was, met with Lauren and me and eventually gave his life to Jesus Christ when we talked to him about faith in Christ. And I believe it was because he discovered through Nathan just how much we were there to care. It wasn't that we came with just a message. It wasn't that we were there to try to sell them something. That's why people are so skeptical, is they think we're trying to sell something. We're not here to peddle anything. We're here to give away a relationship with Jesus. And because of that, Benny now knows Jesus Christ. Now, you need to be praying for Benny because he's going through some spiritual challenges and struggles. I just heard from Lauren in an email this past week. I miss Lauren to death and Helen. And Lauren was sharing with me, just be praying for Benny and the school down there. He's got some challenges going on. But listen, when you give your life to Christ, that's when the challenges start. That's when the challenges start. And so Nathan was doing what he could to bear some burdens, to come alongside of these guys that nobody wanted to pay attention to on most days, and he gave them that attention. So we need to bear some burdens, but we also need to break some rules. This is the best part. You guys are going to love this. You guys love to break the rules, don't you? Any rule breakers in here? You got a preacher for a rule breaker. I'm just here to tell you. I mean, I love to break the rules. This is our favorite part. I love to break the rules. I mean, who wears contacts for 4 weeks? I don't wear contact lenses for 4 weeks. You tell me they're good for four, I'm wearing them for eight. You tell me they're good for eight, I'm wearing them for 16. I'm like Thelma and Louise with those things. I'm going all the way to see how far we can go. I'm raising a hand with my contact lens box, and we're going off the cliff together. I mean, my eyes are bugging out. They're scratching. My eyes are all bloodshot because I haven't traded in my contact lenses. But listen, I'm paying for those bad boys. And if you tell me they can go 4 weeks, I'm going six with them. Who needs to stop at 3,000 miles for an oil change? Not this guy. I mean, listen, 3,000 miles for an oil change, I'm going 3,500, I'm going 4,000. I had a guy tell me, you can go to 5,000 and not even worry about it. I'm going 5,000 miles with an oil change. When I was a kid, I was told you can't sniff markers. Guess who's sniffing markers? I was sniffing markers as a kid. Now, I'm not talking about those ones that had the fruity flavors. I'm talking about those big fat things that you open up the lid and it just wafts through the entire school building. You put those things up to your nose, you get a headache, you might even pass out, I don't know. But you know, how about running with scissors? Who's running with scissors? This guy runs with scissors. Sometimes even till today. But you ever hear a rule and you think, just because you told me I can't do it, I'm going to do the complete opposite. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Parents, I'm not helping you out with your kids here today. Typically I do, but or you hear this is something you need to do and you decide, well, I'm not going to do it just because someone told me I need to do it. And so I think inherently we love to be rule breakers. I mean, how many of you always rewound the VCR tape before you took it back? First of all, I need to help out half of you because you're looking at me. You have no idea what a VCR is. You have no idea what a tape is, and you have no idea what a video store is. But you used to have to take a tape out of the VCR, rewind it before you did, and take it back to the video store. And that's what you had to do. I mean, we break the rules naturally. And that's exactly what these four guys do. They are so desperate to get their friend to Jesus that they tear a hole in some guy's roof. And this poor guy now has a hole in his roof. And I'm pretty sure there's some kind of violation or law or rule against being able to tear a hole in somebody's roof. And I believe that you're going to get at the minimum arrested, or maybe, at the maximum arrested, or at the minimum a black eye from the person that owns the house. And so they for sure broke some rules that day. And in that day, you have to remember, too, that the roofs were made of mud and animal fat and manure, and they were used as binding agents with the thatch to form that roof. In some cases, they even grew grass on the roof so you could climb up on your roof and rest on it and enjoy a relaxing day. So basically, these four guys tear through a pile of manure in order to be able to bless this guy and get him to Jesus. So there are times you have to dig through a little in somebody's life to get somebody to Jesus. to get somebody to Jesus. You got to get your hands dirty. And the roof falls in all over the people. There's this big gaping hole. Four guys plop through like something from Mission Impossible. And they drop this fifth guy down in the middle of Jesus' teaching. A bunch of people who are engaged and paying attention to what Jesus is paying attention to. Suffice it to say that not only would they irritate the homeowner, but they're going to irritate the entire crowd and probably Jesus himself. This is risky business. This is risky business, and they could get themselves in trouble. And that's why I love so much the story, because I love that they ignore the obstacle. I love that they bust through barriers. I love that they break the rules in order to do anything short of sin to bring somebody to Jesus Christ, to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's what God is calling us to do at Rolling Plains Church. I mean, you look at a guy like Lauren Anderson. And a lot of you guys know Lauren. They're no longer with us. They're out in Colorado, and we miss them dearly. But when we were in Guatemala, we were going up to the hot springs. And I believe me, we worked most of the day, but that day was a fun day. There was only one way up and one way down. It was the same road. It was a single lane, maybe two lanes in some places. And we just so happened to pull in the day that the entire village was there cleaning off all the brush. And when they cleared the brush, they put it in the middle of the road until the boulders that came by and pushed it off. So we were stuck in traffic for hours. And finally, Lauren got out of the van, and I said, well, where is Lauren? And so Lauren's breaking rules because he's up there sharing his faith in Jesus Christ with the workers. And I'm thinking, let them work. Don't talk to them about Jesus. We got to get up there to the hot springs. And so he's breaking rules. See, he's up there sharing his faith with these guys when they're supposed to be working and clearing these branches so we can go have some fun. And so I was kind of getting in my mind, I thought, well, listen, you can't do that, but that's exactly what he did. Now, mind you, when he got back into the bus and we started going again and we got to this front loader that had stopped us once again to just take down some simple boulder, he got out and gave that guy what for and told him to get out of the way because we're going to the hot springs. In the name of Jesus, of course. But Lauren is a rule breaker when it comes to sharing his faith. And as a church, we need to do the same thing. We need to be creative. We need to be innovative. We need to do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's why we brought in a guy like Maurice Clarette last year. Hopefully you guys were here for that. We brought in a guy like Maurice Clarette last year. That's why and hear his story, a redemption story. Yeah, he made a lot of mistakes in his life, but he's found a relationship with Christ and attracted people to our church that wouldn't normally step through the doors because he was here. That's why we do things like Kids Stuff Worship the first Sunday of every month. That's why we do things like married people's outings and invite couples to come. That's why we do things like 4G men's groups, and we propose this idea of getting guys excited around four things that guys love in a lot of cases, and that's guys who love God, guns, and grub. Well, three things. And well, what's wrong with that? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, if a guy comes to that wouldn't normally come to church and finds Jesus in the process, praise be to God. So we're going to try these things. We're going to get innovative. And as a matter of fact, we're going to risk it all. We're going to risk it all so that the sick and the people far from God who need grace can find Jesus. I get a chance to announce to you that in November, our next outreach event is going to be to bring in Ted DiBiase. Anybody know who Ted DiBiase is? All right. What's his stage name? He's the Million Dollar Man from WWF. The Million Dollar Man from the late 80s, early 90s, WWF. That I followed. And if you don't know him, that's okay because it's already making ripples. It's already just happening in our community because Lisa's worked with a local wrestling promoter and we're going to have him out there doing this wrestling promotion on a Saturday night with 250 people. And the wrestling promoter said, listen, most of these people don't go to church. And we said, great, that's where we want to be. And we're going to be there with Ted DiBiase. He's going to have a chance to maybe pray, sign some autographs. We might get a chance to be there and do the concession stand and build some new relationships with some new folks and then invite them back the next morning to come to worship and hear Ted preach. Did you know that Ted's an ordained minister? He's an ordained minister, and he's going to come and preach at all three services. And oh, by the way, on Friday, we've already had a communication with Maysville Schools, and we believe that Ted, who gives also an anti-bullying talk, is going to have a chance to go to Maysville Schools and have that same talk with the schools there. And we get to be the chance to be the ones to be a blessing. Now, Saturday morning, who knows? Maybe we can do something with our men's ministry. He gives a great men's ministry talk, too. So be looking for this. Why do we do stuff like that? Because we just want to get crazy and trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. If it means getting five people in our church that wouldn't normally don the doors of the church, that's why we're going to do it. If it means that we get a chance to rub shoulders with 250 people we wouldn't normally get a chance to rub shoulders with, then we're going to do it. Why? All in the sake and the name of letting people know that we care for them and we love them in the name of Jesus. That's why we would do these kinds of things. You see, we need to recognize that Jesus didn't just come for the health. He came for the sick, and we're all sick, and we're all in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. And lost people matter to God, and therefore, lost people ought to matter to us as well. And we need to be all in reaching people for Jesus, because it is not a small commission, it is a great commission. And I have a vision for a church here at Rolling Plains that I know a lot of you share. A vision where we don't judge those who come in these doors who are far from Christ, but we let them come as they are. You can come, connect, grow, and go all day long. We have a vision for a church here that is willing to bear people's burdens and meet people's needs, and if need be, get messy and dirty and cut through some in order to be able to break some rules to reach people for Jesus Christ and to get people to Jesus. We have a vision of being a church that knows what it means to be sick, but yes, also to be healed. We have a vision of a church where we have people who have once lived in the darkness and sin of despair, but have found a light of mercy and hope and forgiveness. Make no mistake about it, this is a church that is willing to look past our own needs, desires, and wants for the needs of those yet to come who are far from God, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. We are a people of the Great Commission, and are we willing to go? Or how far are we willing to go? Are we willing to do everything short of sin in order to reach people for Christ? Here's one closing thought in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 14, Jesus writes this parable. He says, "What do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away? Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." You see, he's talking about insiders and outsiders. He's talking about people who are already in, already know him, the 99, and he's willing to risk them all in order to go out and find the one who's lost. When we were in Vietnam back in the end of April, early May, I was there on a mission trip, and we were on a bike tour with pastors from America and also pastors in Vietnam. And on this bike tour, about 7 or 8 of the pastors from America were on bikes, and we were touring through Vietnam and sharing faith along the way and encouraging pastors. And I rode in the van. I didn't ride on a bike. And there are just motor scooters everywhere. And we were on our way to Ho Chi Minh City on our final night. And Ho Chi Minh City is literally littered with a million motorcyclists, motorbikes. There's no cars. It's all motorbikes. But our travelcade went into the heart of Ho Chi Minh City in order to get to the United Methodist Conference Center that was built there. And so the Vietnamese pastors were alongside of them to make sure they're safe. Well, we got to the United Methodist Conference Center, and then we discovered that all the Vietnamese pastors made it there. I made it there, and so did 8 of my other colleagues. But 2 of our colleagues were missing. 2 of our colleagues were missing. And so in that moment, those Vietnamese pastors looked at me and said, "I love you, but you're good to go. You're not a priority." And they didn't say any of that, but I saw that in their eyes. And I'll never forget this scene. As soon as they found out that 2 of them were still out in the city missing, every single one of the Vietnamese pastors got on a motorbike, and they went out in a single file line. And when they got to the next street corner, they went to the left, they went to the right, they went straight. And they went out into the city to find the 2 that were lost. They went out in the city and found the 2 that were lost because the 99 that were at the conference center were already cared for. They dropped everything to go find them. And I'll never forget the looks on their eyes when they brought the 2. They found them, the lost, the broken, the disheartened. They were out there. They had no idea. They brought them back. And when they drove through, guess what we did? We celebrated. We celebrated because what was once lost had now been found. And that was the priority. We are on a mission for the Great Commission. We are here to bear some burdens and to break some rules. And there are broken people out there. There are hurting people out there that haven't made it here yet. And we need to make sure that they are the priority, those who are yet to come. Because we're the 99 in here, and there may be one out there who needs a message of hope. So at Rolling Plains, we want to do whatever it takes to reach people for Christ. And here's a couple of action steps. First of all, pray for loved ones in your life. They could be somebody at school. They could be somebody in your workplace. They could be a neighbor. They could even be a family member. Pray for somebody who's far from God. Maybe you should have a short list of five names you're praying for. And maybe you'd be so bold as to write the first name, not the whole name, but the first name of people that you're praying for. Those yet to come on this sheet over here that says those yet to come, or those yet to come over here as an action step on your way out before you leave the worship center, to write those names on these boards so that we can be praying for them. First name only. And then secondly, look for a God appointment this week to bear a burden or break some rules. And thirdly, bring somebody with you to church. Bring somebody with you to church. Don't just invite them. Bring them with you.